Welcome to another message from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
I get the privilege of sharing today and just wanted to highlight what Chris was saying. Next week we start an incredible series called Trust Issues, and I know in my walk, and maybe possibly even in your walk with Jesus, you're like, God, where are you in those moments when you are going through the most hardest times? And this is what this series is about. And actually, Chris didn't mention, but he's going to be sharing with Marty next week as well, because he has an incredible story that where he was in a dark, bleak moment, but God was there. And make sure you come. And we've also got other families from our church here who will be interviewing of their journey of where God was in those moments. So come along, and I encourage you to invite someone, because maybe you know somebody who is like, God, where were you? And sometimes we can feel that in our own walks with God, where we're like, we feel that distance. Have you ever felt that distance? And you're like, where are you when I'm going through these things, Jesus? And that's what this is about, trust issues, this great theme. And it's going for 3 weeks or 4 weeks, but it is going to be great. So invite somebody. Maybe there's someone you know that has walked away from God, or even just not wanting to know him. But maybe this series can help, because it brings hope and restoration on who our God is. But anyway, we are in for a good morning. Marty, I think at noon Eastern Standard Times, he was at the completion of his Kokoda trek. There's a couple of photos of his trek. I have no idea how he is going, so except for the Facebook page that the Kokoda trekking people have done. But I'm really looking forward to having him back. It's been a long week and a quick week all in one, but I know that he would have had a great time, and I'm sure he's looking forward to a real bed, some real food that's not tuna in a can, and a hot bath to soak up his body. What's the photo? Oh, there it is. Yay, I'll just move. That's him walking into a village. I have no idea where, but it would have been such a good bonding time, and this is him here. So there he is with all the men. So definitely a manly time, and I'm sure he's had a great thing. But anyway, this is our third and final week in our series, Kingdom Come. Marty preached last week, and he talked about our words and our meditation. Meditation meaning, what do we think about? Hey, welcome home, Heartlands, as well. We are so glad you're back from the Singapore. We weren't jealous at all watching your things. I love it when people go on holidays, because then they come back and tell you all the good things about it, and then hopefully you get to explore it too. But he was talking about how what words we speak actually creates our environments around us, and the words that we speak has the power to create atmospheres. We're made in the image of God. Just like God created the world, he spoke it into existence. And we too are made in his image. So therefore, we can create with our words. If you're not a prayer, I want to encourage you to become a prayer and speak with your words, because you have the power to speak over your family. You have the power to create the environments in your home. You have the power to create with your words. So make sure you do that. And if you didn't listen to the podcast, because it was a lot longer than what I just shared, obviously listen to it, because it is great. But let's just pray right now. Holy Spirit, we just invite you here today, God. And Lord, we don't just want to do church, play church, or do any of that. But God, we want to come and meet with you in such a fresh and real way, Jesus. And Lord, I just believe that the word that is going to be spoken today is for this church, God. And Lord, we need you, and we want you so much, Father God. In Jesus' name. So yes, this series, Kingdom Come, all the locations have the opportunity throughout the year where we do our own series. And Marty and I had been talking, and we came up with the Kingdom Come theme for this church specifically, because we believe it is a word for us, Elevation Mandurah, which is awesome. And the Matthew 6 verse 9 to 10 was our main theme. And it says, "Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come, and may your will be done." Jesus doesn't just want to bring his kingdom to you. He wants to bring it through you. He talked about the delivery guy with the pizza. We're not just going to ring up and it's going to come and our pizza's going to arrive. He wants to use us and bring the pizza to the people. He wants to establish his kingdom through us as individuals. We can often think of church as a building. We can think of it as a structure. We can think of it as the four walls. We can think of it as a service, an event that happens each and every week. But do you know what? There is so much more than that. The church, if these walls fell down right now around us, and they're not going to land on us, but let's just pretend if the walls fell down, the church would still exist. Why? Because we are the church. I'm the church and you are the church. The church is his bride. And in Ephesians and Corinthians, it talks about the illustration between marriage, between a husband and a wife. And he also then said that is us, that he is the groom and we are his bride. And God is so passionate and he is so in love with his church that he died for it. And he would do anything for his church, his people. Marty and I prayed before we moved, and we would say, what do we imagine the Elevation Church Mandurah is going to be like? Marty and I really do enjoy walking together. He's walking alone without me at the moment. I'm quite jealous, actually. But we would go for walks and we'd go and just be talking, and we'd imagine, like, what is our church in Mandurah going to be like? And we'd just get very excited because we'd just dream and we'd just talk and run into wildlife as we'd be walking. But we'd be like, God, what are you going to do? And we said, we want to be a church that if the walls or if the church closed down, would our community even know that we weren't there anymore? And we'd be like, God, that's what we want to be. We want to be a people that as God moves and works in our community, that through our deeds, through our good deeds, and through our generosity, that people would come to know Jesus. We wanted to be a people that if we did something, that people would be like, oh, you're one of those Elevation people. Wow, thank you so much. We didn't want to do it so promote the name of Elevation, but obviously it is so that people would come to know Jesus Christ. If we are the church, what do people see? Or more so the question is, who do people see when they are around us? My point number one today is Jesus didn't come to be served, he came to serve. Mark 2 verse 17 says, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Christ came for the sick. I was sick. If you know Jesus already, you are sick. If you don't know Jesus yet, there's an opportunity at the end where you'll get to know Jesus and become healthy and whole. And we're far from perfect, so please let me tell you that. We're not perfect in any way, but we are on a journey of becoming whole because of Jesus. But Jesus came for a lost and broken world. He hasn't just come for us who are sitting in this room here today. He is coming for a lost and broken and sick world. God's sovereign plan ultimately is that people would be in relationship with him. When Jesus walked this world, he was the ultimate example of how to mix with people. I think these stories are amazing because quite easily we can get into judging mode of people. But Jesus mixed with people. There's the illustration of the story of the lady at the well. He met with her and he asked her. Jesus was a Jew and she was a Samaritan. And he went to the well and he said, will you give me some water? Will you draw me some water? And the lady's response was this. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with the Samaritans. He also then went on and asked her a question. And he said, where is your husband? And she said, I don't have a husband. And he said, you are right. You have had five husbands and the man you are with now is not your husband. Jesus associated with people that he should not in those times have associated with. There's the healing of the young girl. Jesus had been in the crowds and he'd been preaching and speaking to the multitudes. And you think after preaching and teaching and for days and ends and being around people, you'd want to have your own moment. But on his way back, a man called Jairus came to him and said, come and heal my daughter. And so he said, yes, I'll go. So instead of going back to his room to have a rest, he went on his way to meet with this young girl to heal her and raise her from the dead. But then while he was walking there, a woman with the issue of blood, she had basically her period for 12 years, grabs the hem of the garment and he healed her in that moment. So after being in the multitudes, probably tired, Jesus probably never got tired, but he was human, I don't know, but he could have gone and retreated, but no, in his goings and in his where he was off to, he decided that he was going to mix and associate with people. He goes, I've got time for people. He had time for people. And he went and he obviously healed the girl, but in the goings, he stopped. And he saw a woman that would have been an outcast, a woman that would have been untouchable, a woman that would have sat on the outside gates because she was not clean. This is who our God mixes with. He sat with and ate with the tax collectors and with the sinners. There was a woman that was also accused of adultery. She was caught in the act and she was brought out into the middle. And people were about to stone her. I don't know where the man was, but the woman was there. And she was to be stoned because of the sin that she had done. And then Jesus says, and he goes, if there is any man in this circle that has no sin, let him cast the first stone. Nobody picked up the stone and they all slowly dispersed. But who our God is, who is so pure and holy, righteous, has done nothing wrong, he actually could have been the one to pick up the stone and cast it at her. But he didn't. And he said to her, and he goes, look, there is no one, I don't condemn you, but go and sin no more. Jesus, he served, he got down to people's levels. He didn't use his position of, I am the Son of God, come and follow me. No, he used his position of love. He used his position of mixing with people. He used his position of serving, and therefore many people followed him. Jesus saw the person and he saw the individuals. So if Jesus mixed with the untouchables, if Jesus mixed with the ungodly, or Jesus mixed with the unrighteous, would that too not be our focus as well of who we mix and associate with? That we don't just get caught up in doing the church thing. That we don't just get caught up in saying, okay, church is our 9:30 a.m. service, so I'm going to be there 5 minutes early and have my coffee. No, let's not get caught up in the weekly things that happen. Yes, they are so important because that is part of building the church. But the church isn't a structure. The church is you and the church is me. So wherever we are, whether you are at work, whether you're in your everyday things, I remember in one of our team meetings we were praying and Marty, we'd all just moved actually, and so Marty had given up his full-time job as the rest of the team that had moved as well, and we were on just 2 days of income. And when we moved, we were just praying, and Marty applied for a job in a local public school. And we were in our prayer meeting, he just put all his applications in, etc. And then Kristen prayed over Marty, and the words that she said I will never ever forget. And she said, I believe you're going to get the job, and the reason why you're getting it is because God is going to give you a glimpse into the community. He's going to give you a glimpse so that you can see the people. I grabbed hold of that word for myself as well. And I'm like, God, what a privilege it is that we have the opportunity to work in our community and see the people. So wherever you are at work, God is giving you a glimpse to see his people. Whoever you socialize with, God is giving you a glimpse to see his people. When you are at school, God is giving you a glimpse into his people. When you're on the train and you're commuting to work or you're on the bus, God is giving you a glimpse to see his people. Because his people are his most precious. As I said before, his sovereign plan was that every person would come and be in relationship with him. So when you are in your everyday doings and your everyday things, if you're at the shops, stop and look at the people, because it is a glimpse to see his most precious and his most loved. It's what moves his heart. When did life become just this robot mode of I get up, I go to school, I go to work, I pay my bills, I clean the house, I meal prep, if you meal prep, or I exercise. When did life just become robot? That we get up in the morning, put the coffee on. That's one thing I do miss about Marty. He always made my coffee in the morning. He's a good man. I had to learn how to do it before he went. But when did it become that? And life is so much more than just work. Life is so much more than paying bills. Life is so much more than just getting up and having a tidy house. For those that love a tidy house, you can have a day off every now and then. But life is about others, and it's about serving others. From the beginning of time, from the beginning of creation, God was about relationship with mankind. Have you ever thought that maybe the workplace that you are in is for more than paying the bills? Maybe it's about the person that you sit next to at your work environment. Have you ever thought that maybe when you're at the school gate, then it's more than just a quick hello and quickly get back to your car because you don't want to have a conversation? Maybe it's a little bit more. To be honest, I went through a period of time where I was the kiss and drop mum because I did not want to get out and have the schoolyard conversations. But I got really challenged. I'm like, no, get out of the car because there's people there and they need to know Jesus. So I had to change, and I'll be like, okay, I'm going to get there 5 minutes early and I'm going to have a conversation with the mums or the dads, because it is more than a kiss and drop. It's good though. Have you thought about the suburb that you live in and the neighbours that are next door to you? Maybe you live in that suburb, or maybe you live in that street, because it's not just about having a roof over our heads. Maybe it's about the people that are around you. Maybe the school you're in. I know there's a lot of our kids that are in the Christian school, but do you know what? In a Christian school, there's a lot of people that don't know Jesus. So maybe you're in that school because your peers need to know Jesus Christ. Maybe you're in that university, or you're studying because you are there to change the direction and the path of somebody there. So can you find purpose? Can you find meaning in more than just the everyday things of get up in the morning and go to work? Can you find purpose in your life? Can you be the church to your world? Can you? Number two, God doesn't need a perfect person. He needs a willing person. I'm going to just read a little bit of the Bible from Acts 9, and I'm just going to quickly read. It's about a man called Saul. So meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest and he requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the rest of the followers of the way he found them. He wanted to bring them in, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. And as he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. And the voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city and you will be told what to do." So in that story, Saul, as he was walking on the road to Damascus, he was there. His mission in life was to kill and destroy Christians. Wow, it's pretty amazing. So that was his mission in life. But on that road, he had an encounter with God, and he turned, he got blinded for 3 days, and he didn't eat for 3 days. And in that time, God did a complete turnaround in who he was. If you think about it, he is the least likely. He is far from perfect. He was a Christian killer. But God, in his whole master plan, needed Paul to spread the message of Jesus across. It says in here, because there was a man called Ananias, and he said, "No, Lord, I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to believers in Jerusalem. And he is authorized by the leading priests to arrest everyone who calls upon your name." But God spoke back to Ananias, and he said, "Go. For Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to the kings." So Saul, obviously, he then gets his name changed to Paul because of that big transformation that happened in his life. But if you think about it, he hated Christians, but God needed him to then spread the message of Jesus Christ across the world. Passed beyond just that small Jewish sector, I guess, but went beyond. So he had a huge change. He wasn't perfect. He was a killer. He was a hater of God. But God changed him, and he was willing. For us, when we were moving, and one day you'll get sick of our moving stories and we won't talk about them anymore when it comes to our 1 year anniversary. I promise it's coming up. But I remember I actually had quite a few hesitant moments in wanting to come because I was very comfortable in my life. But I remember saying, and for me to say this, I'd be like, God did blah, blah, blah. God did a big thing in me and made me surrender because of personal reasons. I just never wanted to come back. But in all of this, God stirred something in me and in Marty too, but personally, I guess for me. And he said something to me that we are going to be an answer to this city. We knew Mandra really briefly, but we didn't know it, if you know what I mean. We knew of it. But God spoke to us, said, you're going to be an answer. And for me to say, wow, God, we're going to be an answer? Are you for sure? Are you for real? Are us an answer? Are you sure? And God did something in me because I'm not a boastful person, but I am a willing person. And for us to move, it was a big deal. We used all our finances to move. We had to fix our house and uproot our family. And in the goings of it, I'm like, God, are you so sure that you want us to move? And in all of this, God just would speak to me. A funny story, I remember in days of being hesitant, I'd be like, I journal a lot and I'd be like, God, are you really sure? Like, do you want us to go? And one day I was out playing on our front verge and I looked up in the sky and these letters came up. W-E-S-T. And then, yes, there was other words, Western something, that came after. But when I looked there, the word West was there. And I'm like, God, can you be any more clear? Because I'd been asking God for signs and been asking God for confirmation. Yes, my heart was there, but every now and then you'd go through periods of grief and thinking, can I really do this? And God did it in that moment, W-E-S-T. And so I was like, okay, God, I believe that we're called to be an answer. An answer because we want to see a strong, healthy church here. We want to see churches planted. Why? Because the church is an answer. No, we're not the most perfect people. I'm sure there's better people out there than us, but we are a willing people. And the team that come and the people that are sitting in this room, you too are part of being the answer to seeing healthy churches established. I can't do it on my own. We can't do it on our own, but we can build healthy churches because of you. If you are willing, just like we were, we're like, God, we are probably the least skilled, but God, we are willing. We are so willing because we love your people. And over that period, then God continued to stir in us. And as I said, we'd go for walks and we'd dream and be like, God, what are you going to do? Because there's a city in Mandurah, there's a state, WA, that needs a God. We had this saying, and we still have this saying. Jackie would recall it. We'd always say it in young adults. There is always room for one more. There is always room for one more. No matter how big this, like, this place will be filled, and we believe it, but there is always room for one more. We will knock down walls to make room for the more. There is always room at our dinner table. There is always room in our lounge room. There is always room for one more. Why? Because people matter. And I want to encourage you in this. Can you look in your own lives and say that there is always room for one more? Yes, your life may not be perfect. You may not have it all together. If we wait until we know the Bible back to front, it might be too late for somebody's life. Yes, we can always upskill. We can always get it more educated. We can always draw closer to God, but can we in our every single day be like, God, who can I be an answer to for today? When I'm in my goings, when I am at the shops, when I'm at work, can you please give me a glimpse to see the people and be an answer to them? And you know what? We may not see the results immediately. We may not even ever see the results, but God does. And over time, who knows what journey that they'll be on? Because there is always room for one more. In John 17, verse 4, it says, Jesus says, I have glorified you on earth, and I have finished the work which you have given to me. This is saying following Christ is finishing it. and doing what he has called us to do. It is so easy to start following Christ, isn't it? You know, when you first get saved and you're like, yes, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to declare your name across the generations. It's easy to start, and it also is very easy to quit. It is easy to quit along the way. But it takes a lot of guts, takes a lot of strength to finish it and do all that God has called you to do. Yes, along the way, we're probably going to make a lot of mistakes. We're going to sin. We're going to stuff up. That's because we're humans. We're definitely humans. But can you say to God today that I am about your work, and when I get up, whose life of eternal difference can I make? So we read earlier about Saul and then how he got converted and became an advocate for Jesus, declaring his message. But in Colossians, so he reads this. I'm just going to read a little bit. It says, I, Paul, have been sent on a special assignment by Christ as part of God's master plan. It goes on a little bit and he reads on and it says, the message is as true among you today as when you first heard it. The message doesn't diminish or weaken over time. It's the same all over the world. The message bears fruit and gets larger and stronger just as it has in you. From the very first day you heard and recognized the truth of what God is doing, you have been hungry for more. And down in verse 13, it said, God rescued us from dead end alleys and dark dungeons. He set us up in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of the Son he loves so much. The Son who got us out of the pit we were in, got rid of the sins we were doomed to keep repeating. Christ holds it all together. But I'll just go back to, I, Paul, have been sent on a special assignment by Christ. God stopped him midway going on his ways to kill and destroy Christians, but God stopped him. And then he had a huge turnaround and he's now saying, instead of being a Christian murderer, he's a Christian killer, whatever, I have been sent on a special assignment by Christ. And in that verse, you too can replace it. And it could say that I, Travis, have been called on a special assignment by Christ. That I, Noni, have been called and sent on a special assignment by Christ. That I, Annette, have been sent on a special assignment by Christ. That I, Sherry-Ann, have been sent on a special assignment by Christ. Can you say that out loud with me and say your name in place? That I, Rachel, have been sent on a special assignment by Christ. Okay, let's say it again. That I, Rachel, have been sent on a special assignment by Christ. Paul was far from perfect, and if God can use him, why could he not use you? All we have to do is say yes. We don't have to wait until we're more relatable. We don't have to wait until, as I said, we know the Bible back to front. We don't have to wait. We can do it now and believe it. And as Marty shared in the first week, we've sometimes just got to believe it, that God is backing us and is behind us 100%. That as we step out and be the church, he's just wanting a willing and obedient person. And do you know what? If we don't have it all together, if you don't know it all, that's okay. Because when I am weak, then God is displayed and God is seen in us. And that's what we want as a church, that when we go about our good deeds day by day, week by week, people don't have to see us. They don't have to know our name, but they can know Jesus' name and they can come to know Jesus through you. He is wanting a church that will bring life. He is wanting a church that will bring hope. He is wanting a people that will bring mercy and love to this city, to your world. Kristen and Josh are going to sing a song now. And I remember just walking and I was listening to this song and it just suddenly came across my playlist. It was one of those times when I was just like, God, are you sure? Are you sure? And this song came up, and sometimes when I'm listening to music in my ears, it gets a bit loud and you just feel like getting into it as well. And sometimes you might jump, scream, cry, I don't know, or just walk faster. But I remember it and I'm like, God, I've just seen the W-E-S-T. And then it wasn't long afterwards that this song came through. Because I'm human, sometimes you doubt and you worry. As women, you can get, want to be quite comfortable in life. And I was like, oh God, I'm getting out of my comfort. But this song came out, and I'll just read the words really quickly. And this song, it says, we are the change, or we are the church the world is waiting for. We've got a love the world is desperate, Lord, desperate for. We will lead and take to your street, because now is the time to rise. We're not afraid. We will abandon all to hear your name on lips across the world, because we will run in the wake of your love, because now is the time for us to rise. And then at the end, it said these words, we will go wherever you tell us to go, and we will speak of your very words. We will move where you tell us to move, because we are yours, we are yours. And you may not personally have to physically get up and move state or move, I don't know, but maybe God is asking you to move mindsets. Maybe God is asking you to move jobs. Maybe God is asking you to move physically out of your seat and spend time with Him. So as we sing this song, I just ask you to listen and think about it, because this is what I would do. I'd listen to this song and I'd be like, what church are we going to be? What type of person am I going to be? What answer am I going to be? What answer are you going to be to this great city?